How are you doing today? Is life all smooth sailing for you, or are you in the midst of a storm, feeling as though you're being tossed and turned about? Welcome to Through the Bible. Our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, will tell us that while never enjoyable, our troubles can be an important part of God's work in our lives. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, and if you can, grab your Bible and turn to 1 Samuel chapters 29 and 30, where we see how God will use some of the troubles in David's life for his good. As you know, one of the most treasured traditions on Through the Bible is reading letters from listeners like you. You know, Dr. McGee started this tradition, and it's one that we gladly continue today. And we often read letters of encouragement and good news, but as you can imagine, they aren't all like that. Despite that, Dr. McGee loved them all. In fact, here's one that he shared from a listener who had some constructive criticism for him.
I have an unusual one here. Generally, criticism of my program has been, it's too simple. The fact of the matter is, theology professor, friend of mine, very candidly told me, he said he thought that my program was overly simple. I get this one now from Portland, Oregon. It says, keep it simple. The unsaved do not understand your terminology. Here on one hand, those that are saying it's too simple, and the other that it's too complicated. You know, this is just an example of the fact that you can't please everybody. But as the sign in that little restaurant in West Texas said, you can't please everybody, but we try. And so that's what we do. We try.
Dr. McGee was a good sport, and he really took every letter to heart, as so do we. And we're grateful when you take the time to write to us. Letters like this one from a listener named Janet, who listens to our Arabic language broadcast, are so encouraging. I've been listening to your program since I was a little girl. That was 15 years ago. When I was still in Iraq, I used to sit next to the radio at night and listen for the whole episode, learning from the Word of God. And then I went to Syria and continued listening and was eager to keep learning through your program what the Lord wanted me to do or be. After Syria, I immigrated to New Zealand 3 years ago, but I couldn't find your broadcasts. When I found a job and could buy a cell phone, I found the TWR app, and therefore I found your beloved episodes of TTB. So after telling you all this, I want to tell you that I am with Jesus, close and in a good relationship because of you. I couldn't have made it without your program introducing me to Jesus. I thank the Lord for each one of you. Isn't that wonderful? So what's your story? Is God using our time together in His Word to teach you something new? Maybe there is a particular book or chapter that has made a difference in your life. Well, why don't you tell us about it? Call us today and leave a message on our listener testimony line at 1-800-65-BIBLE or email us at BibleBus@TTB.org or write to us at Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. We really do love to hear from you, so I hope that you'll take just a minute and contact us today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence in our lives, and help us to see your hand in all of our circumstances, the good and the bad. Although it's not always easy, thank you that we can trust that it is all for our good and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now our study today brings us to the 29th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel. If you have your Bible, and we'll turn there, and if you have our notes. Now, in this particular section, we do not have any extended notes because of the fact that we have felt that this section is one that we did not need to develop, as it more or less tells its own story. We're following now the story of David and Saul. And very shortly, the story of Saul is coming to an end. We saw last time that David became very much discouraged and despondent. And he wanted to, as it were, throw in the towel. And he left the land. God never told him to leave any more than he told Abraham to leave. But again, on Abraham's part, it was a lapse of faith. And on the part of David, it's a lapse of faith. So he stepped out of the land, and actually moved over into the country of Philistia, which definitely was the enemies of his people. And so he went over there and spent some time there and became a very good friend of the king. Now, what happened was that war broke out again between the Philistines and the Israelites. And David found himself in a very awkward spot, but he felt obligated to stay with these folk that he had been with, that is, Achish, the king of the Philistines, at least one of the chiefs of the Philistines, was one that David was now a friend with, and he had befriended David. David had befriended him, and David felt that he should be his ally. But God intervened and prevented David from attacking his own people. And this, may I say, was a narrow escape for him. And had not God intervened, David would have done something he would have regretted the rest of his life. You know, Christian friend, today, you and I do not realize how many times God intervenes in our lives. You and I sometimes step over the boundary of where God wants us to be or what he wants us to do. And we make what the young people label today a boo-boo. And when we make a boo-boo, why, God intervenes many times to keep us from absolutely and probably committing a terrible sin that we would regret the rest of our lives. I'm sure that many of you can look back upon your lives and you can record and register many such effects and affairs as that in your life. Now we find here, and I begin reading now at verse 1 of chapter 29. Now the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, and the Israelites pitched by a fountain which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and by thousands. But David and his men passed on in the rear with Achish. David was there with him. Now, these other lords of the Philistines saw David. They knew who he was. They didn't want him with them. And I think rightly so. I'm sure that if you saw a person who'd been your enemy, and all of a sudden he seems to be on your side, you want to make sure that he's not going to come up from the rear and attack you. That sometimes happens even among Christian brethren today. Sometimes some person that you have felt was not friendly to you, and all of a sudden he becomes friendly, and you wonder whether he's really your friend or not, or whether he has some ulterior motive in mind. And we read here in verse 3, "Then said the princes of the Philistines, What do these Hebrews here? And Achish said unto the princes of the Philistines, Is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which hath been with me these days, or these years? And I found no fault in him, since he fell unto me unto this day." Now, this man that David had been with, a Philistine, this man could find no fault with him, for the very simple reason David had been a loyal follower. He'd never tempted to undermine him. David was not that kind of a man. I think today one of the tragedies in our Christian circles are men who attempt to undermine other Christians. And there's a great deal of that, of course, going on even in our day. Now we read here, "The princes of the Philistines were wroth with him. And the princes of the Philistines said unto him, Make this fellow return, that he may go again to his place, which thou hast appointed him, and let him not go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he be an adversary to us. For wherewith should he reconcile himself unto his master, should it not be with the heads of these men?" Now these men reasoned like this, and there was a certain amount of logic in it. It may be that David wants to make a truce or a peace with King Saul, and how better could he do it if he turned on us and took some of us as prisoners, or actually killed us, and that would reconcile him to Saul. And we don't want it that way. Now, I'd be very frank with you, since these men did not know David, You cannot blame them for the position that they are taking. Is not this David of whom they sang one to another in dances, saying, Saul slew his thousands and David his 10,000s? Now that is the position of these men. I think it's a reasonable, logical position. But now notice, Achish, who had full confidence in David now, then Achish called David, said unto him, Surely, as the Lord liveth, thou hast been upright, and thy going out and thy coming in with me in the host is good in my sight, for I have not found evil in thee since the day of thy coming unto me unto this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's favor thee not. Wherefore now return and go in peace, that thou displease not the lords of the Philistines. In other words, Achish, one of the leaders, said, I'm outvoted. I'm outnumbered. The others will not have you. I have full confidence in you. But in order that we can have harmony in our midst, I'll have to ask you to return. And this, my friend, was nothing but the providence of Almighty God. It delivered David from fighting his own people. Now, and David said unto Achish, But what have I done? What hast thou found in thy servant? So long as I have been with thee unto this day, that I may not go fight against the enemies of my lord the king. And after all, King Saul was David's enemy at this time also. And David felt that he was perfectly right in doing this thing. But when you get a proper perspective of it, you can see by David's lapse of faith, stepping out of the land, which meant he stepped out of the will of God, it opened up the way for sin. The very interesting thing is, Christian friend, there are those that are saying today that a child of God, when he steps out of the will of God, loses his salvation. Well, you won't lose your salvation, but you're going to gain something you wish you didn't have. A man said to me in California years ago, he came in to see me. It was after World War II. He said, you know, I came out as a young man here in the service. I got out of the will of God. While I was out of the will of God, I married an unsaved girl. And he said, I have lived in a living hell from that day to the present hour. And he said, I see nothing to do but to step out and to get a divorce. And I told him, I said, don't you get a divorce. Let her get it if she wants to leave you. You stick it out, brother. This is what came to you when you were out of the will of God. You see, the child of God won't lose his salvation, but he's sure going to get something he wish he didn't have. And this fella had done that same thing, you see. You get in trouble, always, out of the will of God. Now, that is what has happened here to David. He's stepped out of the will of God, and he's about to commit an awful sin. But God intervenes, and we read here, verse 11, So David and his men rose up early to depart in the morning to return into the land of the Philistines, and the Philistines went up to Jezreel. Now, Jezreel is up in the north. If you have a good map, you ought to take a look at the geography at this point, and it will open up, I think, a great deal of what is happening here and make it understandable. Jezreel is up near the valley of Esdraelon, by the way. In fact, I would say part of it, because that's a tremendous battlefield as it's going to be someday. It's a wonderful, fertile valley today and is being used. But you find that David did not go up to Jezreel, but at this time, the Philistines did. Now, while they were gone, another enemy from the south, the Amalekites, invaded the Philistine country and the place that David had made his home while he was out of the land, which was Ziklag. Now, if you get your map, you'll find out Ziklag is way down in the south, even south of Beersheba. It's down in the Philistine country. And while they were gone from there, the army, why, the Amalekites had invaded. And this is what happened, and we have that now in chapter 30. It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Now, what else had they done? and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, neither great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, their daughters were taken captive. Now you can appreciate now the position of David and his men. They have returned back to the city that they'd made their own. And David has with him now, as you know, over 600 followers. Each one of them married, each one of them with a wife, each one of them with children. You can imagine that it was quite a place. Now it's been destroyed, been burned with fire. And these men are distraught. They've lost their wives and their children. And as far as they know, they've been slain. Now, will you notice verse 4? Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no power to weep. This was a great blow and a sorrow to David. Now, will you notice what had happened? And David's two wives were taken captives. Ahinoam, the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. You remember that Abigail was married to this very rich man, and his name Nabal means fool. Or I guess that she probably called him stupid. I don't know. That would be a good name for him. But he had had a heart attack and died, and David had taken her to wife. She was the good part of David's life, the only bright spot that I can find in David's life, and actually the only woman that did him good. That was a blessing to him. Now, David was greatly distressed, not only because he lost his loved ones, but for the people spake of stoning him. They blamed David, he was the leader, for leaving Ziklag and going with the Philistines. David, you see, made a blunder. It was a great blunder on his part. Now, we like to think of David, the shepherd boy. David, he's the one that slew Goliath. Then we like to turn over to the black side and look at his great sin that he committed. But we don't realize that David was very much of a human being like the rest of us, and he blundered a great deal. This was a blunder on his part, and the people are about ready to stone him, his men are, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. To me, that's interesting. They're grieving for their children, but they don't seem to be grieving for their wives. You know why? They think they've been slain. They think probably the children have been kept alive, but that their wives are slain. Now, David is between, as the common colloquialism has it, he's between a rock and a hard place. He's between the devil and the deep blue sea. He's in a bad spot. He's lost his loved ones. His own followers now, under this great emotional strain of having lost their loved ones, they want now to stone David. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I think this is one of the most wonderful statements that is made, and I just hang on to that verse for just a few moments, or this portion of the verse. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Friends, there are times in our lives that the circumstances will not produce any joy or any happiness in our lives. There are times that you and I are in a dark place, like David was. You look about you, and it looks helpless and hopeless. And what are you going to do? Be discouraged? Throw in the sponge? Give up? Say that you're through? My friend, if you're a child of God, you'll encourage yourself in the Lord. Turn to Him at a time like that. And sometimes the Lord puts us in a spot like that so we will turn to Him. And it's in a time like that that He'll make Himself real to us. And it is at a time like this that David wrote some of his Psalms, by the way. It is a time like this that Psalm 23 would be very meaningful. It's at a time like this that you can just thumb your way through the book of Psalms, and you can find many of them where David is encouraging himself in the Lord. The Lord is good. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And David found that to be true. I think this is a very wonderful portion. Now, we find here in verse 7, and David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. Now, this was a portion of the great high priest's garments that speaks of prayer. You'll recall that this was a garment that went over the garment that he wore that when he was just like any other priest. This set him aside, and it was the garment he wore when he went into the golden altar of prayer. And he had two stones, one on each shoulder, and he had on that the names of the tribes of Israel, six on one shoulder, six on the other. In other words, he carried them on his shoulder. Now, this is a picture of Christ, our great high priest, who carries us on his shoulder. You remember that little sheep that got lost? What did the shepherd do? He put him on his shoulder and brought him back. And I do not know who you are, where you are, how you are, or why you are, friends, but I do know this, that he today is prepared to come and get you, put you on his shoulder, and he's able to save to the uttermost those who come unto God through him. And so David gets this garment that speaks of prayer, and he goes to God in prayer at a time like this, the one today, our great high priest up yonder, the one who is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And he's the one that David is appealing to at a time like this. And now he makes inquiry. He asks of the Lord, he said this, verse 8, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. God now encourages him to go, and that's exactly what he does. And David, verse 10, pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. Now, you see, when he got back, all the provisions had been taken, and these men are absolutely faint. 200 of them could not make the trip because they had march double time getting back here, you see. Now, what happens is this, verse 10, but David pursued, he and 400 men. And what happened? Well, they found an Egyptian in the field, brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. They gave him a piece of cake of figs. Now, this fella had taken sick, and he tells David that he was a servant of one of the Amalekite leaders. And that when he got sick, they just left him to die. And now David has overtaken this man. He's yet to overcome the enemy, and he wants to know where they are. And so this Egyptian tells him where the Amalekites have gone. And so he explains what had happened at the burning of Ziklag. Now the servant says, I tell you on condition that you won't return me to my master. And David says, I can assure you one thing. You're not going to be sent back to your master. Now what happened is, David made a surprise attack then upon them. And he found them in revelry. They were enjoying the victory and the spoils they had taken. Verse 16, when he brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And these fellows, they had a little transportation, and they were able to get away. Now David took all the flocks, the herds, which they had taken, and then returned also the wives and the children, the ones they belonged to. Now there was an argument among David's men, whether the 200 men should share in the spoil or not. And David puts down a great principle here that reveals his fairness and of his justice, which made him the kind of a man God could use. He said, these 200 men that were sick, that couldn't come with us, they weren't able to make the trip, they're going to share equally in the booty. And I want to say that that revealed justice on the part of David. I'd like to enlarge upon that if we had time, but I'm not going to, because next time we're going to see the death of Saul, and really there's a problem. Who killed Saul? Used to be a little poem about who killed Cock Robin. Well, I never worried much about that, but there's a problem. Who killed King Saul? We'll see that next time.
If you'd like to listen to today's study again or share it with a friend, visit us online at ttb.org. Should we be happy at the death of our enemy? Well, join us tomorrow to see how David responded to the death of Saul as we continue our exciting journey through the Bible.
Jesus made it home, unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.